On the eighth section, the Haggadah could be the last one of the series. We'll see. Okay, and we say in the Hallel, Hayamra Vayanos. The Midrash says, Midrash Shocher Tov, Hayamra Vayanos, Mara'a. What did the Yam see that it decided to run away? Aronoshel Yosef Yored Liyam. Saw the coffin of Yosef go into the Yam. Markadosh Baruch Hu Yanus Mipnei Anas. So you should split in the face of the Nas, the one that ran away. Shenemar V'yazov Bigdo V'yada V'yanas. That Yosef left his cloak by Eshet Potiphar and ran away, and therefore the Yam should also split. The question's obvious. What's the connection between the Yam splitting and the and Yosef running away from Eshet Potiphar? And that's because the Yam should split. So the Chasam Sofer says, explains the Ksav Sofer, excuse me, explains the following way. He said that the Yam saw, the Kol Yisrael at the, wanted to come across, and they said, "Listen, why the Sarosh Yam said, why should we split? Why should we? What Klal Yisrael want to cross? So why don't they just make a fight, make a war with the Mitzrim? Why do they have to come and cause us to split, which is going against our nature? The nature of the Yam is not to split. So why do we have to do this miracle and split for them? Let them just fight the Mitzrim. They're a lot of people." 3 million people, whatever, and so let them fight the Mitzrim. They came running after them. So seems like a logical argument. However, Moshe Rabbeinu answered them and said that they can't. He says why? He said because they owe them a hakara satov. After all, they were living in Mitzrayim for 210 years, and you don't start up, you don't make a fight, you don't fight your hosts, right? They gave them a place to live. Okay, they persecuted them, whatever, but Lamaisa, they had a place to live for 210 years, and therefore also Hakar Satov, they don't want to fight. They feel it's incorrect, it's not a proper mida to fight the Mitzrayim, and therefore you must split. So the Yam said, oh yeah? Prove it. How do we know that maybe they're just lazy? They don't want to fight because they're lazy, not because of Hakara Satov. So, what was the answer to that? Yosef, right? The Ramban asks, he says, why is it then when Eshet Potiphar took Yosef's coat, when he was there, that he left his coat by her? He says, he's a strong young man, she's just a woman. He could have just come up and says, give me my coat, and rip it out of her hands and leave, right? He knew that she can use that coat as evidence, like false evidence against him, which is exactly what happened. So why didn't he just pull the coat away from her? Very simple. He's much stronger than this woman. So answered the Ramban. He says, the reason why he didn't do that is Hakara Satov. So after all, he was working for whatever, it's his boss, and it was not proper to, act that way towards your boss. Therefore, he just left the coat by her, even though he could have, knowing that repercussions could be, which is exactly what happened, but it didn't matter, he took the coat away from her. Didn't take the coat away from her. Meaning, so what do we see? That the Yid has ingrained him this meat of Hakar Satov. Memele, that's what the Yam was shown over here. The Yam says, hey, why don't this fight? He said, no, I can't. Hakar Satov. Yeah? But how do you know? Maybe they're just lazy. Until the Aronoshel Yosef comes, look, Hashem says, V'yanas v'pianas. You have to run to split. Why? Because of the Nas, the one that ran away. Look, Yosef. You see, there these people come from Yosef, and Yosef is a person who's a Hakar Satov. Ad kedei kacha, mesiras nefesh, ended up in jail because of it. Right? But no, it's important. You have to do a Hakar Satov. So therefore, it's not that they're lazy. They're not fighting the Mitzrim because they have a lot of Hakar Satov, just as Yosef had. Mela, the Yam had no answer, and therefore it split for Klal Yisrael. V'yanas v'pianas. Okay, so then we have Rachza. Before Rachza, we have the Bracha, the final Bracha of Gal Yisrael. So they say in the name of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev that the reason why we make a Bracha of Gal Yisrael over here is compared to this famous mashal is given. There was once a father, and he had an apple. Nice, delicious red apple, shiny red apple, and his little kid wanted to have the apple. So he said, Abba, give me the apple. Father says, no, no, it's not. He says, yeah, please, give me. He says, no, no, father doesn't want to give the apple. So the kid was a smart kid, and he said, okay, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Borei Pri Eitz. Right, and his father said, hey, if you want a kid have a bracha lebatala, he says, okay, here, take the apple, quick, eat it. You know, no problem. So Mela, Levi Yitzchak says the same thing over here. He said, we call Pesach, says Lashon Pesach, the mouth that speaks. Means that, and Leila said, there's a time when we can speak, we can ask for what we want, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is what Hashem will give it to us. So as a result, here too, what do? We want the gula. We want the gula so badly. So what do? We say the bracha, Gal Yisrael, Hashem u'malchus. Baruch atah Hashem, Gal Yisrael. Hashem, we made a bracha. You don't want to be a bracha levatala. You have to bring the gula. That's the way we ask Hashem to bring the gula. Okay. Matzah. Motzi matzah. So there's a big difference between matzah and chametz. Right? Matzah, how do you make matzah? First, it takes a lot of pounding. You have to pound the dough. Anybody went to ever the matzah factory, right, to make the matzah? Yeah, take the stick, boom, 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 like they thing. And then after you roll it out, then you take it's a mechorer, it's called, makes the holes. You roll it, you make holes all over. So that's the matzah. You got to pound it, and you make the holes, whatever. Whereas chametz in the hand is the opposite. You just leave it, you know, you put the dough in the water, and leave it, and then it just rises by itself, and just leave it alone, and it rises. So he brings her from Rav Gurel El-Karif, the Musar Haskil over here. The Yid, that doesn't want to work hard, he doesn't want nisyonos, he doesn't want difficulties, just leave me alone, whatever, he's b'chinas chametz. Don't do anything, just leave me. So what happens? In the end, it's something that needs biur. You have to biur chametz, you have to get rid of it, get it out of the house. That's the final result of that. Whereas a yid that says no, he's willing to makabel on himself all the pounding and the holes, and he says, yeah, give me the nisyonos, I'm gonna, you know, that's what life's all about, and he works hard and he overcomes them, and so that's what comes from that. A yid that is called matzah, the nahama de menusa, it's the lechem of emuna, and nahama de asfasa, that's the lechem of refuah, then he has the emuna, he has refuah, he takes the right approach to matzah, and that's the lesson we have for matzah. You have to be pounded, get holes, but be strong. That's what life's all about, and if you hang in there, Vizocha to Emun and Refuah. Brings here, there's a letter that was written by Rabbi Kiva Eger to his descendants. And it's brought in the Sefer Chut HaMashulash. And there are places that his descendants used to read it out loud on the Leila Seder. This stuff, this quote from here, a few lines. Here's something interesting. It says, "B'leil Seder Pesach itnaheg b'kedusha v'yira." A person should act leil Seder with the kedusha and fear. "V'lismoach b'mitzvah shezikah Hashem otanu b'lar lezeh." We should be happy with the mitzvah that Hashem gave us this night. "Shemod ha'mitzvah hu davar shesarich l'argish b'tam." He says you have to feel, you have to taste it, the time of the mitzvah. Umash mitzvahs lovely and us need new eye. We have a rule that mitzvahs are not for enjoying. You don't enjoy. And he goes, that's a kavanala, not a goof, a physical. No, not there to give you physical pleasure. But tama mitzvah tzarich liot matok midvash. But the tama of the mitzvah has to be sweet. And then he relates to the mitzvah. You have the mitzvah saseh of kiddush and mitzvah saseh of matzah, and we have maror, arba kosos, and miras halo. And then he says the following. You have to make sure you get your matzah, not just, you know, the exactly a kazais, make sure you get a little bit extra there, and similarly with the maror. Because if you do a little bit too less, you're not enough, and you lost the mitzvah. And then he says the following, "Va'af b'maror hagam shekasha loktzas," and also maror, even it might be difficult. You're eating horseradish, might be difficult. He says, and he puts here in bold print, "Ani maftiach b'emuna." It says Rav Kiva Eger, "I promise you, b'mi sheyaseh mitzvah b'cheshek, that if you do a mitzvah with a lot of excitement, cheshek v'yachshov b'simcha shebezu arega ani mekayim mitzvah sabor, and then you think." With happiness, and at this moment I'm mekayim the mitzvah of Hashem, kimat lo yargish miriris klal. You're not going to feel it. You're not going to feel kimat. You're not going to feel the miriris at all. You're doing the mitzvah with tremendous cheshek. So that's Rabbi Kiva Eger writes. So he asks over here, who is this? Rabbi Yisrael David Schlesinger. So he asks, the chura, well, you're supposed to feel the Tom of the, you know, the Mariris, okay? And if not, you can just, make your horseradish a few days earlier, and, that's not so powerful. So Mashma, no, you're supposed to, so what's Pshat? He says, if you do this, you're not going to feel the Mariris. But look where you're supposed to feel the Mariris. So he says it's different. He says, how are you not feeling the Mariris? If you're not feeling the bitterness, because it's, made your horseradish early, that's not considered you're eating mara. But if the reason why you're not feeling the mariris is because you get so close to Hashem and by doing the mitzvah and the kirva of Kosh Baruch Hu, because of that you don't feel the mariris, he says that's doing the mitzvah mahadrin mina mahadrin. He says that's the best way to do it. And he brings there's a famous Maharami Rutenberg that he's there's a Kabbalah from him that a person that's Moser Nefesh Al Kiddush Hashem, he doesn't feel any pain. This person is tortured or whatever and he dies Al Kiddush Hashem, during that time he doesn't feel any pain. It's Kabbalah that, why? Because you get so close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're right there, you don't feel any pain. So similarly, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, it's like that with all mitzvahs. It doesn't have to be a Kiddush Hashem. You're eating the maror, it's hard, it's spicy, it's that, whatever. But if you're doing it with the right kavanas, you feel you're close to Hashem, you're not going to feel the bitterness. That's the doing the mitzvah mehudar. It's interesting, pshat here from the Yechida, move on to the maror, as we mentioned. The Gemara and the Mishnah Psachim says that there's five types of vegetables that one can use for maror. Okay, what are they? Chazeres, ulshin, tamcha, charchavina, and maror. There's five types of things. So the Chida says that these five types of maror are remes to the five galios that we've gone through. What are they? Mitzrayim, Bavel, Paras, Yavan, and Edom. So explains how so. So the first is, of course, Galus Mitzrayim. And that is the maror. It's the fifth type of vegetable. It's called maror, and that's easy because the Mitzrayim, as we say, they meru et chayenu. So they made our lives bitter. We eat the maror. Okay. Second galus is the galus of bavel. Galus of bavel, they destroyed or machriv the Beis Hamikdash, and sent us the galus. So the churban was by bavel. Therefore, the second type is charchavina. We said Lashon Chorban. Charchavina is like Lashon Chorban. It's the second type. The third galus is Paras. And in Paras, it was a galus, but in the end, they gave us permission to build a Beis Hamikdash. So they were Tomech. They gave us support to build a Beis Hamikdash. Mela, fourth type is Tamka. Tamcha is Lashon Tomech, Litmoch. They gave us support to build a Beis Hamikdash. The fourth is Galus Yavan, the Greeks. And they didn't want us to learn Torah. So that's Ulshin. Ulshin, he says, sounds like Al Shanen, don't learn. Ulshin, Al Shanen, don't learn. That's the Yavan. And finally, the last Galus, Chamishi, is the Galus Edom, which we're still suffering through today. But Bezrat Hashem, Kosh Baruch Hu, Yagziro Tanu, Kamim Yuslar Tseinu, should bring us back to the, upright to our land. And therefore, that's the fifth type, Chazeres, Lashon Chazara, that Bezrat Hashem will, last Galus, go Chazara to our land. Okay. Things here, Maisa with the Shinavarav, Rabbi Cheskel Mishinava, that once somebody told him some very, very bad news. And he just, sat there quietly for a while, and he started crying. And then he lifted up his head and he said, Gamzu Latova. So they asked him, well, why didn't you just say it right away? Why you sat there crying, and eventually, oh, Gamzu Latova. So he explained that says in Pesachas Pesachim, Bala Maror Lo Yatza. If you take the maror and you don't chew it up, you just swallow it whole, you're not Yotzi. Why? Because you're not going to feel the Mariris like that. So you have to chew it up. So he says, it's the Gabayal Kabbalah Yisurim, right? Hashem sends a person Yisurim, and he's sending, so you should feel it. So therefore, bad news, I was told it's bad news, so okay, don't just swallow it and say right away, oh, here comes a little tava, finished. No, fine, sit there, let it sink in, feel it, the Yisurim, like the maror, chew it up, and then afterwards, I said, comes a little tava. But you have to feel it first. Okay. Next comes the Korech. Korech, the Pesach Matzah Namara. The Mishnah says, M'sachim, Velu Yerakot Shadam Yotzei Behem Yadev Chavda B'Pesach. We mentioned, and one of them was, as we saw before, Chazeres. And the Gemara says, Amar Rava, what's Chazeres? Chasa. And what's Chasa? The Chas Rachamana Ilavan. That Hashem has Chasas Pidianas. That's the Chasa. It's a Maror. He brings here, Asher Weiss, that the Maror in Gematria is the same Gematria as Maves. Coincidentally. And Maror is Maves. And Chas in Gematria is Chaim. In Gematria is Chaim. And therefore, that's a school of the Maror that we eat. That we tofech the maves to chayim, the din to rachamim, as it says that chas rachamani lavan. And furthermore, he brings from the Yismach Yisrael the matzah and the gematria ktana is chay, and maror and gematria, as we said, is maves. And therefore, when we do korach, we take the matzah and the which is chay and the maror, and we put it together, wrap it together. It gives a, it's a remez that Kosh Baruch Hu. Even if a person might come to the Chas Rachman al-Islam, to the Shari Mames, but in the Schus of the Matzah, it's Mekayim at this night, you can fech from Lachayim to Lachayim Tov. Okay, Shulchan Orech is a minag Yisrael to eat hard-boiled eggs, begin the meal with hard-boiled eggs. You have that minag?
Yeah,
also? All right. You also?
Potatoes?
No, at the meal, to begin the meal with a hard-boiled egg. Huh?
Could be, I don't
okay. Anyway, so he brings here from the Rava Kodesh Mi Izvitsa, whatever, and the Sefer Mea Shiloach, he has an interesting hezber, why eggs? Why do we eat hard-boiled eggs? So he says that normally most things have one birth. Hey, you're born, come into the world, and that's it. Interesting, chickens have two births. First, the egg comes out of the mother. That's birth number one, laid down number one. And then the chicken comes out of the egg. That's number two. That's a double thing. So it says, therefore, there's a remez that also we have, as a remez to the Klal Yisrael, we have also two births. We came out of Mitzrayim. You know, that's the first birth. But then, now we're back in Galus again, and we're waiting for the next birth. Well, we will go into and who Yishayini v'Galenu Shainis, that will be our second Leda. And therefore, that and of course, in Leila Seder is the hope of, like we said, the time of Gula or whatever. They're hoping they will have the second Leda, and therefore remind us of this idea we eat the eggs. Chasam Soifer gives a different shot why we eat the eggs, and he says that Klal Yisrael, when they're in Mitzrayim, they had a minag of being misabel of velus on Leil Tesvav. On Leil Tesvav, they had a minag of avelus. Why? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu at Bris Bein HaBesarim that they're going to be enslaved and chule. And when was that? That the Bris Bein HaBesarim was Leil Tesvav. And so they went down, they had that, you know, terrible, you know, besorah, they'd have to be enslaved, the heirs of Lohem, Vadum, Vinuotam, and that's what they were living through. And since it started, it was told to Avram on Leil Tesvav, so they had a velus on Leil Tesvav. And this continued until the Moshe Benu came and took them out of Egypt, so then that was the end of that. I mean, that was the end of the velus. So to remember, this velus that they have, eggs, as we know, is a food for a velus because it's round, so it's a cycle of life. So it's a food of an avol. Mele, we eat it to remind us that, on the one hand, Klal Yisrael, they ate the eggs on the Tesvav because of the, you know, Bris Bein HaMitzrayim, but then they were redeemed. So we have the hope that, you know, also we will be redeemed if we eat the eggs. And he adds a little bit more to that, that is also well known. No one would say this is the reason also why we eat eggs, is that the night of Leil HaSeder and the day of the week is always the same day of the week as Tisha B'Av. Whenever tonight's like Monday night is the Seder this year, so Monday night's going to be Tisha B'Av. It always comes out the same day of the week. So Tisha B'Av, of course, is the time of Avelis, and therefore we eat the eggs on the thing. So similarly over here, He says that just like Kal Yisrael, they ate on the Tetzvav as a form of Avelis, and then eventually the Avelis disappeared when Moshe Rabbeinu came. So we are eating the eggs also to the Zechel Avelis of Tisha B'Av, the Avelis of Beis HaMikdash. But just like that Avelis ended, Bezrat Hashem, we're looking forward to this Avelis will also end, and when we see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Brings here an interesting part. It's already going into the benching. Baruch. Say Al Torah Schashli Manatanu Val Chaim. The Torah and Chaim, he says, is very strongly connected. He brings a question that was asked to Rav Aaron Leib Steinman Shlita. And the question was as follows. He said, we find by mitzvahs that you can't pay somebody to do mitzvahs for you. You know, mitzvah shebegufo, right? You can't say, I don't want to put on tefillin today. Here, take some money and you put on tefillin for me. All right? I don't want to do the lulav and esrog here, but let me pay something, put on, do lulav and esrog for me. My matzah, whatever. All you can't. You have to do it yourself. So yes, we find a strange thing, though. There is an exception to this. What is that? Limud Torah. Right, you can have a sachar zavulun agreement. Here, you learn. I don't want to learn. Here, you learn, and okay, you have to say minimum. You have to say kriyat shema shachar itnaris, but then your yotzi minimum, and then after that, he says, here, I'll pay you. You learn for me. It's a strange thing. What's special about Torah that you can pay somebody to do the mitzvah for you? In other mitzvahs, you can't do that. So he answers, and he says, similar that he said the way Kadosh Baruch Hu made the world, that in a way that people could live, obviously. And therefore, things that which is more essential to life, Kadosh Baruch Hu makes sure it's very easy to come by. So examples given, let's say oxygen, right? Chamtzan, right? You need to breathe. You need air to breathe, right? So Hashem didn't say, okay, make it very hard to come by to get air. You have to pay a lot of money for it. No, wherever you go, you don't have to pay. It's free, right? Why? Because it's the most essential thing. You don't have air. Finish. You can't live more than a minute, right? So Hashem made it easy and free, right? Water is the next thing you need besides after that, and also plenty of water around. And okay, sometimes you have to pay a little bit for it, but it's available. Basically, it's affordable, and it's right. And then as you go along, whereas let's say gold or something, diamonds, you know, you don't need it. You can be without it. It's harder to come by, and it's expensive because you don't need it so much, etc. So he says, so too when it comes to ruchnias, right? He says, what is the what's the oxygen when it comes to when it comes to ruchnias, the thing that you have to have? That's Torah, right? So Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world that you can live physically and spiritually. So Meili says, since the Torah is the oxygen and on the ruchnias level, and you need it, without it you're finished, you have to have it. So Hashem says, look, I got to make it available to everybody. So fine, some guy's a big tamachach, whatever, no problem, sit and learn all day. But what about this guy that has a tough time learning? Or what about women? Or whatever, they don't have a mitzvah even. So how are they supposed to breathe, ruchnias-wise? That's the chamsan, that's the oxygen. How are we supposed to survive? So therefore, since Hashem created a world to be able to survive in, He had to make it available. So therefore He says, fine, you learn, you can't learn, pay somebody to learn, no problem, you can have it that way. You support somebody to learn, the wife, support the husband, whatever, the children, whatever, he makes it because that's the chamsan. He says, that's the imlo brisi shemayim var, yom abalayla b'chukha shemayim var, lo samti, right? So he created, without the Torah, there's no world. It's the oxygen of the world on a ruchnius level. So you have to, therefore, other mitzvahs, okay, they're important, whatever, but it's not the oxygen. So therefore, you can't do it, okay, so you can't do it. But here, you have to be able to do it, because you got it. So therefore, Hashem said, fine, so here, He made a way, you can't do it, you can pay somebody else. Okay, so one last thing. Interesting idea. Brings in the Yala V'Yavo, we say, V'Zichron Avoseinu. So he discusses the concept of Zchus Avos. Right, that we have a schus avos, that our forefathers, they help us out. Right, that's, we have their schus. So they ask, what kind of what's that supposed to mean? Where is the is it protexia, as they call it? You know, I said, okay, you know, doesn't matter. I have this someone in high places. You know, I'm my Avraham Yitzchak, so I'm fine. You know, what does Avraham Yitzchak have to do with me? You know, where, how do I get? How can I enjoy their schus avos? So he brings an interesting pshat. Who is this? Reb Shapta Yudalevitz. He says there's a midrash. The midrash describes a debate, if I like to call it that, between a Jewish child and someone from the Chachmei Atuna, the Greeks. And they were like the biggest Chachamim in the world at the time. And this Chacham from Atuna came to Yerushalayim, and he found this young boy. And he asked him, he says, here, he told him, go buy a couple of slices of cheese, you know. A couple of blocks of cheese or whatever. Fine. So he goes to the store and he buys a couple of blocks of cheese, and he brings it, puts it in front of the Chacham, and he says to the boy, "Can you tell me which block of cheese came from a black goat, and which block of cheese came from a white goat?" So the boy answered back. And when he was at the store, he also bought a couple of eggs. So he puts the eggs down on the table. He says to the Chacham, "Can you tell me which egg came from a white chicken and which one came from a black chicken?" That was his answer. Now, that's the Midrash. Now, what's going on? Obviously, it's not just a cute little thing. There's a deep idea going on behind the scenes over here. What was the Chacham, the Goy, saying? He wanted to show. He says, you know, what's this Chus Avos business, right? You say you're special, right? Why are you special? Because you have Avram Yitzchak. Yeah, well, you're special. The Jewish people are special because of their forefathers. He says, look, here you have a white goat, you have a black goat, right? Totally opposites. You know, one's white, one's black, whatever. When it comes to what comes out of it, it's all the same. It's all the same. It's all cheese. This is cheese. It's all good. You can't tell where it came from. It's gone. What was, was. So same thing over here. I'm missing Yaakov. Well, who cares? Avram Yitzchak Yaakov or Haman or Rasha, whatever it might be. Lemaisa, bottom line, what do you have to do with them? Just like the cheese has nothing to do with the forefathers. So also here, nothing. So the boy in his wisdom said to the Greeks, there's a big difference. We're not compared to the cheese, we're compared to the eggs. Why? He says, put the two eggs down. He says, which egg came from a black chicken, which came from a white chicken? Meaning to say, also, right, same as you're saying, right? You can't, what's the difference? Black, red, in the end, it's all the same. He says, yeah, but what happens? You could tell when it hatches. Out of the egg, a white chicken is going to come out of the egg that it was, a little white chick was going to come from the egg that the white chicken laid, and the little black chick is going to come from the egg that the black chicken laid, right? Meaning that it seems to be sometimes, yeah, it looks all the same, egg, no. But if it's hatched, you see that it has takes with it the chromosomes or the genes from the mother, and there's a relationship between the offspring and the parents, right? So Meili says the same thing over here. He says, you know, Yidden, it's true. Sometimes you say, Yid, Goy, look, they look the same. They're both, they're all the same, right? He says, okay, it looks like they're all the same, but they're not really the same. Or how do you get an egg out of a chicken out of an egg? You sit on it, the mother sits on it, warms it up, or whatever, it's warm, whatever, and then out comes the chicken. You can tell it comes from the parent. So to over here, it might look the Goy Jews saying, sometimes the Yid just has to be warmed up a little bit. You know, you carve him, whatever, get that warmth, and then the pintle of Yid comes out, and you can see a big difference between the Goy and the Jew. Not the same, right? And that's why, because the Yid has the schusavas, he has those genes, the chromosomes, whatever, from the parents, from their forefathers. And therefore, even something that might look no different, but warm up a little bit, and it comes out this connection to the Sosavas. So, maybe it's not stinking, maybe it's another reason why we eat the eggs on Leila Seder. So, it's not the Shem, we should be Zocha to eat the Zvachim and the Psachim and the coming of the Mashiach and Binyan Beis Hamikdash Shlishi B'Karav Yameinu.